You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is still August 3rd, 2021, Tuesday, August 3rd, at least where I'm sitting. I don't know when you're listening to this show. So I just finished the Bible chapter review for the last Franken show, and now I'm still on the road, haven't missed a beat, still driving home, and I'm going to start the next Bible chapter review. So this Bible chapter review is going to be Matthew 5, verses 21 through 22. We're about to break down the "you have heard it said" statements here from what we call the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said. You have heard it said. So we're going to do about half of one of those in this Bible chapter review, because as you guys know, I got to milk these Bible verses for as many shows as I can, because one day I'm going to run out. And then I'm going to splice a question-answer on. It's a question-answer pre-recorded from my trip home from Huntsville. And this question is about women speaking in church. And it's the most interesting question I've ever answered on The Christian Commute, not because of the subject matter, but because of what happened to me on the road while I was answering it. So be prepared for that. That question's from Frank. And if you have a question for The Christian Commute, you can write in to SethDunn88 at gmail.com or dial 470-315-0875. And Frank is keeping the fires burning even on my little non-commuting hiatus, call it an involuntary hiatus that I've been having from the show, not putting a lot of shows out this summer because I've been working from home with a baby. Frank's still been keeping the inbox full. Thank you, Frank. So I'm getting to one of his questions. So those of you who think, oh man, the inbox is backed up, I haven't heard my answer from Seth in a long time, I've got these pre-recorded answers. And I may, no promises, I may do a Christian Commute tomorrow because one of the vendors invited me to lunch again, and I might go to work just to get lunch. Come to Calhoun just to get lunch. So if I commute, I'll do that. And I decided, as I kept talking and talking on this question recording, to tack a show topic onto the back of it. Just kind of a cheap tack on, because I was like, you know what else? Let me tell you what else. And you can call it church public recreational facilities. Yeah, we are. Sometimes we scrape the bottom of the barrel on The Christian Commute. We're something like 1,100 episodes in. I don't know, what am I going to talk about? We're going to talk about church recreational facilities that are open to the public. Hey, let's talk about that. So that's going to be the show topic tacked on to that recording in this Franken show. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass these slow drivers in the left lane. And when I get done, we're going to cover Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. So Jesus has just said, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. And he's going to contrast the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees with a greater kingdom righteousness in a series of "you have heard it said" statements. So let's tackle the first one right here. You have heard that the ancients were told, or you have heard it said. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. Those are Old Testament references. And it's just straight up Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. And then also in the Old Testament, specifically in the books of the law, it has the standards of, well, if somebody murders somebody, well, here's the system of justice. Here's how they answer to the court. You got two or three witnesses. The avenger of blood can't come after them if they're in a city of refuge. And there's all kinds of little provisos and rules for the court system. And these people understand that. And Jesus said the ancients were told. Well, he's talking about the people who have heard it from Moses and have passed God's word and God's law down to their descendants over and over. So if you have heard that the ancients were told, well, who knows what the ancients were told? The scribes and Pharisees, because they're the people who have the writings. I don't mean the Ketuvim properly, the writings, but I mean the law, the Torah. They're the people who have the scriptures, I should say. How about the Grafe? They're the people who have the scriptures. So how do you know what the ancients are told? Well, you ask the historian, right? Well, who are the historians of theology or the historians of scripture? It's the scribes. Why? They copy it down and translate it. And the Pharisees, because they're interpreting it and they're writing commentaries and books on what it all means. There's an entire Jewish practice, if you will. They call it Midrash, which is where their theologians, their scribes and Pharisees, sit around and say, ah, this is what this means, and this is how to interpret it, and this is what you should do. This is what righteousness is. So the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. That's an Old Testament reference. And by the way, that's not unrighteous, that's following the law. It is righteous not to murder people, thank you. But it doesn't stop there. See, that's where the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees stops. You have to surpass their teaching. Beyond the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. But I say to you, here's Jesus' contrasting statement. You have heard it said, or you have heard that the ancients were told, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. All right, so what's the law say? You shall not murder, you'll be answerable to the court. But Jesus said, uh-uh, it goes beyond that. So if someone's angry with his brother, he's going to be answerable to the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court. Well, what's that? That's the Sanhedrin of that day. So somebody who's saying to his brother, you good for nothing, that's like an official insult. In modern times, we'd call that a tort, to insult someone like that, because you're insulting their reputation and saying, you're good for nothing. You know, that's slander. And if you're saying, well, the person in theory... could really be good for nothing. If you go up to somebody who can't keep a job because they smoke dope and are late all the time, say, man, you're good for nothing. Your parents may have said that to you at one point in your life, even if you weren't smoking dope. That's not said out of anger. You're just trying to say, hey, you need to get your act together. But you got to understand, somebody's speaking this out of anger and insulting this person. So this is someone slandering another person out of anger. They're going to have to go before the authorities to hash this out. This person has slandered me. This is what, like we say in modern language, a tort. So it's not just murder. If you're angry with your brother, you should have to go before the court. Because of your anger. Because do you murder anybody you're not mad at? Where does murder come from, right? The desire to murder someone. Well, you're either jealous of them in some way, or you're angry, you're covetous of what they have. It comes from that anger. So Jesus is saying that the righteousness of the Pharisees is to, well, don't, thou shalt not murder. All right, great, we're not killing anybody. Yeah, but if you sit around at home and you're stewing and you're mad at somebody and you have ill will towards somebody, you're guilty. That's the higher righteousness, or the righteousness, the spirit of the law righteousness, that has to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is what happens if you go to the earthly court now. Like right now, if you slander somebody, you have to go before the Sanhedrin for angrily saying you good for nothing. But if you say to your brother, you fool, you shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. That's eternal judgment. That's a judgment beyond even the Sanhedrin. So that's the derision you have in your heart towards somebody. You think so low of that person. And the power of this word in English is really lost on us, because you would be joking around. What you talking about, fool? You know, like, and they're not saying that. They're not saying you fool. This is a deeper insult. This is a very deep derision of someone. You didn't kill anybody. Good for you. That's a level of righteousness. Good, you didn't murder anybody. But no, it's how you feel about your brother. Not having that anger towards them and seeking reconciliation and peace with the person that you have a problem with, or if the person has a problem with you. So if somebody's upset with you, you're not upset, but they're upset, you need to go reconcile with them. And that's what verse 23 talks about. And we'll cover 23 and 24, Lord willing, on the next Bible chapter review, whenever that is. But you got to get where we're going here, is that we can't just do the bare minimum. What was that? Was it Office Space? Joanna, how would you feel about somebody who did the bare minimum? You're wearing three pieces of flair. That's the bare minimum. No, if you want to work at Tchotchke's, you got to have 20 things on your vest, not just the bare minimum. That's works-based righteousness, Seth. No, we go to heaven based on Jesus' imputed righteousness, to make a theological point. So I'm going to end the Bible chapter review right there and splice the other stuff in. All right, this question is from Frank in Maryland. And by the way, I'm continuing on my long Huntsville drive, Huntsville to Cartersville through Fort Payne and Rome. So I'm going to splice this question in to a different show topic on a different day. Oh, the air conditioner blew my question notes down. Oh, this is unfortunate. This question comes from Frank in Maryland through SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. That's where you send your questions. If you have a question for the Christian Commute about apologetics or theology, the Christian Commute's your roadside assistance. You can also dial 470-315-0875. Frank in Maryland asks, almost said axe. Let me ask you a question, like Harlem Heat. Dun-na-na-na-na-na-na. Frank from Maryland asks, should a woman be able to speak other than singing during church? And I think he means during the church service, during the gathered assembly. Should a woman be able to speak other than singing during church? And he references 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 through 35. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is telling women how they should pray and prophesy. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I was crossing up my scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 14, he says, women should remain silent in the church and learn in full submission. They shouldn't speak. If they have a question, they can go home and ask their husband. That's my paraphrase. The Greek there, sigao, it means remain silent. So it's not some, there's no nuance. It means don't say nothing, remain silent. Laeo in the Greek, to talk. Again, it's there's no Greek nuance, don't talk. So Frank sees this and he says, well, should women just not say anything in church except sing? So let's go through a typical church service. I went to church today. I'll go through the church service that I was in Huntsville this morning. We sat down. They had a countdown on the screen, counting down to when church started. Probably didn't have that in first century Corinth. Probably wasn't some guy up there going, 30, 29, 28. 27. But we all knew when to start when that thing hit zero. There were some men on stage with instruments, so they stood up and they told us to stand up and started singing, and we did. We sang one song. Then someone, and I'll cover this later, it was a woman. Then a woman walked up and said, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm on staff here. We're glad you're here. If you want to know more about our church, fill out one of these cards. And, you know, you can fill the card out against, or not against, you can fill out the card, you can fill it out about baptism, join the church, more information. We've all heard these spiel. It was the church announcements. Then the woman, this woman, she said, let's pray. And she prayed. And then we sang three more songs. Then the pastor came up. He gave a sermon. Then we sang another song. And then the men with the instruments said, all right, bye. And that was the church service. I didn't count up how many men or women were there. There's about 50 people. I always count people when I visit a church. I can't help it. I'm a Baptist. I'm on this show. I always say it's not about nickels and noses. I count them every time. So I counted about 50 people. I want to say 42, but I'm going to round up to the nearest 50, including the pastor, including my kids. And I mean, I don't know, half and half, men and women. Do you know who said anything? Nobody said anything except the people standing up front. Nobody said a word. And you know what? That's how it's been 99 out of 100 times I've ever gone to church. The only people who even say any words are who we might call the worship leaders, the person telling you what song to sing. Turn in your hymn book to blah, blah, blah. Or look at the screen and sing this song. The person who gives the announcements, and I don't really think the announcements are part of worship, but we all have an... They're just there. We have announcements in church. And then the person giving the sermon. And that is done in order. And I thought, oh, how interesting that a woman spoke in church today, because I've got this question from Frank I'm going to do later. But the reason I bring up that church service, which usually women don't even give, you don't pray. Of all the Sundays I've been to church in my life, I'm hard pressed to think of a woman coming up, giving the announcements, and then praying. Like I've seen women give announcements before, but praying. And by the way, this was it was in a Southern Baptist building. I don't know I really don't know how to explain this church. It was typical. Typical millennial, millennials, Gen Z. I would call it a Gen Z Baptist church, if you're trying to get the theology of where I was. But this question is not about where I was today. This question is really about any church in Corinth. So what was going on in Corinth? We have to examine, Frank, the context there in Corinth. They were ridiculously out of order. That's why Paul was having to talk to them about church order, because their church services were not in order. Not only were their church services out of order, just their general lives were out of order. They had some guy sleeping with his stepmother, and Paul was saying even the pagans don't do that, and you're putting up with the guy sleeping with his father's wife. They had people trying to go to law against one another, taking one another to court. He's like, why are y'all trying to take one another to a pagan court? Y'all are going to judge angels. Can you not judge amongst yourselves? Why not rather be wrong? They're eating after church, their church potluck, and some, like, the rich people would have more food than the poor people. And that was their idea of the Lord's Supper, we think. There's just all kind of things out of order in this church. It was bad. Bad, bad, bad. We have two letters that Paul wrote them, and we know of at least one other. Like, some people argue there were four letters to the Corinthians. Some people say three. Y'all are so bad, y'all got three or four letters. So the reason he was having to address the women in the worship service is because they were out of order. Now, in verse 11, he's talking about when women pray or prophesy, they need to do it like this. So he's obviously not against women praying or prophesying. The question is that talking about the general assembly of the Lord, or what we might call a small group? Because 14 is very clearly talking about the assembly. When I say 14, I say chapter 14. Women remain silent. What should they be silent in doing? They don't need to be speaking in tongues. What's going on there? People are speaking. By the way, because again, when you ever heard anybody speak in tongues at your church? No, didn't think so. So this is not even something we address. So the what was going on when people spoke in tongues at the Corinthian church is everybody blah 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 blah. Nobody's even interpreting it because you can't get a voice in edgewise. So we have a very ordered worship service today in the modern church, don't we? The preacher, the music minister plays the songs, and the preacher preaches. But in Corinth, there's a blue million people talking all out of order and hollering out, and one guy's giving a prophecy and somebody else is giving a prophecy. It's not orderly. And when you're prophesying, what are you doing? You're making an authoritative statement like God said this. I read an article on Denny Burke about this, or by Denny Burke about this, and he said, well, you know, he's a cessationist because there's no prophecy today, but reading the Bible out loud is akin to prophecy. And the position Burke took is a woman shouldn't be judging a prophecy, in other words, teaching somebody what it means. Other commentators would say, women don't need to be prophesying in the General Assembly at all, because then they're acting like they're teaching or having authority. I want to say this, Frank. It obviously doesn't mean that women can't talk at all during a General Assembly. Like they can't come in and say hi to somebody. Oh, hey, Eunice, nice to see you. How's your sick kid? Has anybody ever been in church before where you have the little greeting time? And they play, I'm so glad I'm a part of a family of God. You go shake hands. Hey, it's nice to see you. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Yeah. And that part is reserved for the chatter and the greetings. I think it's just obvious prima facie that Paul isn't saying women can't speak at all. And let's make some, you can call this an argument from silence if you want. So should you come into church with... I don't know. Let's say you're a blacksmith. I always use a blacksmith from these ancient examples. And you were, I don't know, smelting and banging metal with a hammer. And I don't know, the hammer flew out of your hand and the hot metal hit you on the chest and it burst open and you had this big wound on your chest. Should you go to church just like bare-chested with the wound out? Like, sorry, guys. Or should you walk into church? This is a modern context. Let's say you go to the gym. You're one of these people who go to the gym every morning at 5 a.m. So you go to your 7-day a week, 24-hour gym to work out at 5. You work out for 2 hours. Then you don't take a shower. And you show up to church and you're all drenched in sweat. Well, the Bible doesn't say don't show up to church after you haven't worked out without taking a shower first. No, it shouldn't have to, because these are obvious social norms. It's an obvious social norm that women can talk. Men and women can talk. So I'm saying, don't take this to such an extreme. So the Bible said I couldn't work out for 2 hours and then come to church all sweaty and stinky. No, it doesn't say that. Because why would somebody have to address that? Nobody does that. Bible says couldn't. Where's it say I can't go to church naked? Come on. Because people don't do that. That's what doesn't address it. Although I would argue it's under modesty. All I'm trying to say is we got to take it in context. It's obviously not saying that women can't say a word. But guys, I don't say a word in church. My daughter's sitting there. She's like, she's a kid. Hey, Daddy, listen to the preacher. Don't say anything. Listen to the preacher. Do you talk during your church service? Do you just sit and chitter chatter? No. I mean, that's why they have the countdown on the screen this morning. Hey, when this countdown stops... Stop chitter-chattering. We're going to have our church service. What the heck was that? Ah! I just got a shredded tire. Obviously, I'm going to have to stop. I apologize. And we're back after the...
Better route available.
...roadside emergency... In case you're wondering, I don't know what happened. Something awful happened. I don't know what you call it. The outside of my tire was ripped off and the little plastic piece that goes up under my wheel or up under the wheel of my truck was all ripped and shredded and gone. I don't know how much noise it made on the recording other than my scream. But I must have run over something gnarly. So when I get home, am going to have to get a new tire and probably order a new piece for the underside of my truck. I don't even know if they have these pieces anymore. Like I said, this is a 2003 truck. But let's get back to Frank's question. You guys will have to forgive me if I don't remember exactly what I was talking about, if I don't remember my exact point. I think I had said something about the common sense interpretation of scripture of obviously women are allowed to talk, to like say hi and stuff. Also, I'm now drinking a Gatorade that I stopped and got at the service station because I'm all nasty and sweaty from pulling over and changing this tire on the side. Well, not the side of the road. I was near a church parking lot, so I pulled into the parking lot of Agape Baptist Church in Scottsboro, Alabama. Shout out to Agape Baptist Church, and changed this tire. It took a long time because I've never changed a tire in 2003 F-150 before, and there's a lot of steps. And I'll say that that's the dirtiest this alligator shirt's ever gotten. So now I'm rehydrating myself. I'm going to have to stop and eat dinner now, but I'm all nasty. Anyway, I was talking about... Sorry, Frank. Sorry. And I'm not starting over, because I was 10 minutes in. This is what happens on the Christian commute. The show happens in a car. Every once in a while, you know, over the years, you'll get distracted or interrupted when the tire rips apart on the side of Lee Highway in Scottsboro, Alabama. So, once again, Gatorade time. I know this is riveting radio. I guess late in Fort Payne. Once again, there's the common sense understanding that women can talk. But we have to look at the context of what's going on. The Corinthians were terribly out of order. I think that's what I was talking about, how they were terribly out of order. And how our worship services, everyone that I've been in, has been pretty much in order. And not a lot of people talk at all. But when we look about why Paul says women keep silent or women don't speak, we have to look at the context around. Not just that things were out of order, but that Paul's saying, ask your husband when you get home. Let a woman ask her husband when she gets home, and let the woman learn in full submission. So what she's speaking about, if she's what? Learning in full position, is in the way she's speaking, she's teaching. And then we think about what Paul says elsewhere. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. So in the assembly, a woman is not supposed to teach or have authority. So, in an ordered assembly, if you're not teaching and you don't have authority and you need to ask your husband when you get home, why are you speaking? What occasion would you have to speak? And the only one that I'm left with would be prayer. Praying out loud. Again, not praying out loud while other people are praying out loud or the person in the pulpit's trying to pray. Which gets me back to what happened today. I was a little uncomfortable when the woman got up there and started praying. And I thought, man, I'm about to talk about this that Frank asked, because I had made some show notes at the house Saturday night before I left. Still drinking a Gatorade here. And I was like, well, dang, here's a woman speaking in church. And I gotta say that I would not do that. I would not have that. You don't even want to give the appearance of impropriety And it's not like God has some special word that can only come through that woman who's up there giving announcements and telling you to fill out a connections card. It's when a man, or when the pastor usually does something, whether or not the pastor has to do it or not, and I'm not trying to be a legalist here, but when a man or a pastor normally does something, it's not good to run a woman up there to do it. Just not good optics. And you got to be careful in these corporate prayers. Because how many times has this happened? Lord, you know, we thank you. Thank you for this day that we're able to gather and worship. You know, people have been sick lately because of Corona. The Delta variant's coming up. And we're just asking for your protection and your blessing. Thank you that we're still able to come here. And Lord, as it says in your word, we're not to forsake the gathering together of the brethren, so we're here. What? You just kind of prophesied there, didn't you? You just kind of spoke a truth from Scripture. You just told why we had to be here. You see that? It can happen that fast. So I think it's okay if you're having one of these prayer times in your church, and I've seen this done before. I've been in church before. So, all right, we're going to break up into little groups and have a prayer time. And why don't you pray about these things? And you sit around in a circle and some, Lord, blah, 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 blah. And the next person goes, Lord, blah, 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 blah. Not speaking in tongues, just blah, 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 blah. And, you know, yada, yada. I guess let's be biblical. Yada, yada, yada. Did you know that? That yada is Hebrew for word, yada. So that's when people say yada, yada, yada. That means words, words, words. I think that's okay. Especially in the context of 1 Corinthians 11, as we said, where the woman's supposed to be praying. You know, Paul's not saying don't pray. So can a woman do something other than sing? Yes. Frank, should she be up at the pulpit doing anything or standing up speaking out where she's the center of attention? Nope. Don't do it. She should not be teaching at all in the General Assembly of God's called people. I'm going to break this down even further, even though you didn't ask me to. Who has ever been in Sunday school class? And the teacher gives his presentation. He gives the lesson on the Bible, or whatever the lesson's about in the Bible. And he goes, what do you guys think? Any comments? And then some woman raises her hand and says, I think this. And her husband's sitting there while she says it. Now, it's been my experience that, you know, 6 out of 10 times she's wrong. It's just, by the way, men or women, it's just a bad idea. Listen to me. It's just a bad idea to ask general people, what do you think? They're not the Sunday school teacher. You are. All right? You teach them, teacher. Don't be asking people, what do you think about it? Because you're asking somebody to be wrong. And then you're in the uncomfortable position of correcting them. Rarely do these corrections happen, I've found. It's more like, oh, yeah, interesting. Usually when somebody says, oh, good word, I never thought about that. Maybe you never thought about it because it's wrong. When you're in Sunday school class, and there's men and women in that Sunday school class, no, it's not the official church worship service or whatever. You're still the saints gathered together on the Lord's Day. If a woman doesn't understand something, she can ask her husband when they get home. Or in Sunday school, because a back and forth is expected. It's a school environment, educational. Because a back and forth is expected, not considered out of order, I think it's okay to ask the teacher. But I do not think women should be giving clarifications and teachings in Sunday school. So stop it. And stop asking for them, Sunday school teachers. And with that, I finished my Fruit Punch Gatorade. It was really good. Especially after all the sweating and crawling on the ground I was doing. If it was a full show, I would regale you with all the trials and tribulations of trying to change a spare tire in a Ford F-150. But luckily, I had YouTube to show me how to get the spare tire down, because it is not intuitive and it is not easy. And I will say this, Agape Baptist Church has a frisbee golf course. And you know, if you've ever seen frisbee golf course, it's a little chain net, and you throw your frisbee at it in frisbee golf, and it's the hole. It's like, you know, in golf you got to get the ball in the hole. In frisbee golf, you got to throw your frisbee and it's got to land in the net. And they have that on their property. Good for them. Be careful when you have these recreational facilities on your church property, because what you have it not only for the church, but so the community can come out and enjoy it. That's great. And just like when I pulled over the side of the road, I'm like, man, I'm on the side of this highway. People are going by at 80 miles an hour. I don't want to lay down on the ground right here in the hot and die with cars driving by. I wish there was a parking lot. Then I look, I'm like, oh, there's a church parking lot. It's my fellow brothers in Christ. They won't mind if I roll up and change my tire in the parking lot in a shady spot, which I did. And I was able to just kind of creep along. There was still enough left of my tire for me to creep along with my hazard lights on in the emergency lane so I could get in there. I still don't know what in the world happened. But these guys come up to play frisbee golf. And my hood is up. I got stuff laying everywhere. My hood is up. I'm getting materials out. I'm clearly changing a tire. I'm clearly having car problems. You say, why was your hood up? Because there's this pole under the hood of the F-150 that you have to use to jack your car up and to get your spare tire down. And these four dudes show up, and I don't want to interrupt their frisbee golf game or anything. Not a one of them asks, like, hey, are you okay? Do you need help? What's going on? And this is the South, y'all. We're all falling all over ourselves to be polite and helpful to one another. And I'm in the parking lot of a Baptist church. And I sit there. If I'm someone not familiar with church culture, I'm thinking, boy, this isn't how these people are Christians. They're not even asking me if I need help. There's no way those guys are members of that church. There's just no way these guys are Alabama Baptists. They didn't even say a word. Like millennials. And listen, you see me, I can't help you change a tire. This took me forever to try and figure this out. But I'm going to say, hey, you know, you need anything? Anybody I can call for? You know, we have cell phones now. I think everybody expects, yeah, you're broken down on the side of the road. I've got my cell phone. I'll just YouTube how to do this. But they didn't even say hi or anything. And I'm just thinking, what? You are four terrible people. And when I'm pulling out of the church parking lot, this other guy's pulling in. What is it? It's 7:22 Eastern time. So I don't know if they're having Sunday night services or not. But, I mean, as soon as I'm pulling out, this guy's pulling in to what probably are the Sunday night services. And he like waves at me. Hey, how you doing? But like, he doesn't know who I am. Some stranger. I guarantee you that guy would help me. But these guys, they didn't even say a word. So all that to say, as I don't think they're members of that church, I doubt they are. I think they're probably just guys from around the area who came there to play frisbee golf. But be careful lest someone gets the impression of your church when you open that up. I'm not in a bad neighborhood or anything. Anyway, I just want to tack that on. That doesn't have anything to do with Frank's question. But I got to bring my day full circle. So thanks for that question, Frank. You know what? Maybe here's what we'll do. I'll remember to tack this recording on, and the show topic will be open church facilities. How about that? I'll make a little show topic. Open church facilities and how that makes your church look. Okay? And I'll explain that in the intro. Got some mileage out of that. You know, you can't have an accident on the Christian commute. That's kind of an historic, I don't know, an accident. I don't think I've ever had car problems like that before happen on the Christian commute. I don't know how many, I don't think I've had a flat tire just explode on me like that. I still don't know what happened before. But that's that. That's the end of this show. And for those of you who are wondering, I think I got about five more questions to do. So I'm going to call my family and let them know I'm okay. And then I am going to take another question.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.